Well, as you know, we've come together tonight to stir up remembrance in our own hearts. That reminds us that we have been forgetful. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:25, to do this in remembrance of me, this thing of partaking of these symbols, this thing of thinking on Jesus and our need for him afresh. We know that remembering isn't just because we totally forgot. We know that this isn't like reminding ourselves to pick up something on the way home, but you forgot, and it just totally wasn't there. You totally didn't think of it at all until you got home and then realized you missed picking up something from the cleaners or something at the grocery store. This is not that kind of remembrance. But what is this kind of remembrance? What is it? Let's think this evening more about what it means to remember his death, or to do this in remembrance of him, and how symbols play into that. I'd like to draw your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 4, back there. Deuteronomy 4, to see a theme of remembrance in some different parts of God's word. And supremely, here in Deuteronomy 4 and in the following chapters, we'll just read through a lot of this, which has this theme in it of remembrance, of remembering and experiencing what the Lord has done and who he is, of not forgetting. It's a biblical theme all over, Old and New Testament, but Deuteronomy 4 through 9 have some passages in it that remind us maybe more clearly, more intensely, what it means to remember. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 4, verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who followed Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. Your eyes saw this. You experienced it. Now look at what it says in verse 9. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget. The remembrance theme. So you don't forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they don't depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. Verse 10, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the repeating of the Ten Commandments, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me that I may let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all their days they live on the earth and that they might teach their children. You came near and you stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. You were there, remember. Don't forget. Don't let it slip from your remembrance. Don't let it slip from the forefront of your memory. Look at what it says in verse 23. Watch yourselves that you do not forget. Do not forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord has commanded you. You forget, you're going to turn to idols. Don't do that. Verse 24 says, the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. Okay, now look at chapter 5, verse 15. And we're not even highlighting all the ones that we could be looking at in these chapters, but here's another one. Verse 15 of chapter 5, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Don't just remember the fact of slavery. Don't just remember that you were a slave. Remember what it was like. Remember, too, that the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. Don't forget what it was like when his mighty hand and outstretched arm rescued you. Look at what it says in chapter 6. Verses 6 through 8 are important words, kind of like Israel's constitution, if you will. Verse 6, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. It doesn't say anything about remembrance there, but knowing the context and knowing this repetition of remembrance throughout these chapters, think of these words in terms of remembrance, or another way of describing remembrance. The words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. not just on your mind. And you'll teach them diligently to your children, verse 7 says. You'll talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. One of the ways you'll fight forgetfulness is by talking about it a lot and telling it to your children and pleading with them to not forget. Verse 8, you'll even bind them as a sign on your hand. You'll put a mark on your hand to help remind you. You'll put them as frontals on your forehead. You'll write them on the doorposts of your house so that when you go out and when you come in, you'll remember what the Lord your God did. Verse 12, then watch yourself and do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Or look at verse 20. When your son asks you in the time to come, what do these testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean the Lord our God commanded you? You shall say to him, notice, this is story time. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in and to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers so that we would observe his statutes and fear the Lord all our days. Story. Don't forget the story. When your kids ask about the commandments, you tell them, you remind them, you refresh your own memory about the story of it. Just a couple more verses. Look at chapter 8 and verse 19. In verse 18, it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's him who gives you power to make wealth. Verse 19, it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today, you will surely perish. Or chapter 9 and verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 9 says, remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. Not that. Don't forget how. Replay it. Retell the story to yourself. Repicture it. Refeel the emotion of being convicted, of being crushed, because you know you provoked the Lord in the wilderness. Don't forget it. Remember it. In the book of Deuteronomy here, there are over 12 references to remembering the experience of Egypt alone. And there are more references that would state it in a negative way, like don't forget, like Deuteronomy 25:19. When the Lord gives you rest, and when you're no longer surrounded by your enemies, and when you're in the land that he gave you to possess, you must not forget. You must not forget. You must not get used to the ease of it. When you're no longer in battle, and when you're no longer looking to manna to fall from the sky in order to eat, but when you have abundance in God's plentiful land, don't you forget him. 12 references to remembering Egypt alone in the book of Deuteronomy, many more that would mention other things to remember, and many others that would state it backwards to say it like this: don't forget. Remember, don't forget. Now, this word remember in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word behind it, it's zakar. Ron would say it better than I do, but he was my Hebrew professor, so I guess take it up with him if I don't say it right, right? But this word remember, zakar, in the Old Testament Hebrew is a word rich in meaning. We talked about this at the beginning of our services last weekend, where we said that word boast. We described it in terms of confidence, confession, and celebration. That the word boast, it is not bragging, but it's boasting, which is confidence, and it's confessing, and it's even celebrating. So it has connotations of joy, not just confidence. Well, sometimes the English Bible you have has boast, and the Hebrew word behind it is zakar. Remember, something we didn't even mention last weekend when we mentioned just that little bit, those three ways of understanding the word boast in your English Bible, we didn't mention that there's this whole dynamic about remembrance. So when you look up this word remembrance, or zakar in the Hebrew, in a good dictionary, a good Hebrew encyclopedia, it's a huge account in that dictionary, in that encyclopedia, because it's a word used so much in Scripture. Brown Driver Briggs, one of the most authoritative Hebrew dictionaries, lists all these things under this word remember. To call to mind, to rehearse, even verbally rehearse, to consider, to ponder, to affect your present feelings with remembrance, to confess, to celebrate, to boast, even to remind others, even to record it, to write it down. What Moses did, what the disciples did for the New Testament. To call to mind that it happened, yes, but to rehearse it, to rehearse all of the facts that we know of it. To not just rehearse parts of it or the goal of it, like we so often do at the Lord's Supper. What we tend to remember first and maybe even last is that I'm saved. I'm forgiven. And that's important. We're here to do that tonight and to celebrate that tonight, to recount that to ourselves, to go away feeling freed because of that tonight. But don't take a shortcut. You're supposed to see before you a retelling of the violent and graphic story of God in the flesh, nailed to a tree, in pain, all the way to death. You're to rehearse it. You're to tell it to yourself. When there's quietness, you quietly run through the facts of the story. When it becomes time for us to come forward and get the elements tonight, we're going to ask you, before you come up, or as you return to your seats after you come up, to open your Bibles to the end of one of the gospel accounts. All the gospel accounts have the story of Jesus' death somewhere in them. So you go to the last two or three chapters of any Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just start reading. Just start remembering. Just start recounting. Just start pondering. Start thinking about this again. Affect your present feelings with this remembrance. Remembering the Passover in the Old Testament was not just remembering even the story. It was meant to be a visible reenactment. You were to almost put yourself in the shoes or sandals of those who were there that night in the first Passover. You're supposed to put yourself in the place of those who would have eaten standing up with their loins girded about them, ready to go, and knowing that the angel of death was coming, and maybe even shortly after eating that night, you hearing screams of God's judgment in the land. And you go and you check on your firstborn son, and he's there, and he's breathing. Tell the story to your son when your son asks, "What's this thing we're doing? What's this about?" Well, let me tell you. And don't tell him just the facts. Tell him the story. And tell him the story passionately. Tell him the story like it is the absolute best story in the world, and like it does change your eternal destiny from eternal torment in hell to eternal joy in heaven. This is experiential remembrance. It's passionate remembrance. It's a replaying, even here with us, not just in the Passover. This is a replaying of the story. We are tearing bread tonight to remind ourselves right before our very eyes that his body was torn. We are looking at red blood tonight. wine in a cup to remind us that his blood was spilled out. To remind us that there's enough for everybody. To remind us that this washes white in God's miracle economy of salvation. Let me show you some more, or at least just read some more to you, of remembering in the Old Testament. Let me give you some Psalms. You can write down the references, or you can try to keep up with thumbing through, or just sit quietly and listen. Proverbs a lot. I'm saying Proverbs all the time. Psalm 20, verse 7. Listen to this. Some boast, here's the word, there's a car, boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast, Zakar. Remember. We will remember. It says we will, in our English Bibles, we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Now, boasting in the name of the Lord our God, you think of it in terms of confession, you think of it in terms of confidence, being confident in his name, confessing his name, even celebrating his name. But this says some find their confidence, their celebration. Some find their confession, their hope, their glory, their fond remembrance. They assure themselves with this. I got a good horse. Going into battle, I got a good strong horse. I'm going into battle, I got a good strong sword. I got good strong legs. But we will remember the name of the Lord. We will remember his name. Which doesn't just remember, oh yeah, he is Yahweh. Or oh yeah, he is the provider. Or whatever name you would think of in the Old Testament, of one of God's revealed names. You'd maybe say, oh yeah, that's his name. That's not what this is saying. This is saying remember his name and everything that entails. Remember who he is and remember what he's done, and you trust in that, you boast in that, you glory in that, you find your confidence in that, you confess that, you celebrate that. Listen to Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? The psalmist talking to himself, preaching to himself, maybe interrogating himself. Why am I in despair? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me, therefore I remember you. I remember you. He fights despair in his soul with remembrance. Again, that's not going to be a quick kind of remembrance. Oh yeah, don't forget, God's there. That takes time, doesn't it? That takes opening your Bible and rummaging through it. I love when it says in Psalm 119, my eyes grow weary from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? He knows there's comfort to be had in God's word. He hasn't gotten it yet. His eyes are even tired from looking. But instead of giving up, he keeps at it. When will you comfort me? I know where to go for comfort. I go to the place where I see the remembrance of you. Or Psalm 77, verse 6. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Now notice the three verbs of that verse. I will remember in the night. I will meditate in my heart, and my spirit ponders. Hebrew poetry. Ron taught us this in our staff meeting today. They often turn into good old Hebrew or Old Testament or just Bible study classes, and we're thankful for that. And he was teaching the staff today that Hebrew poetry is parallelism, that it's one statement, and the second statement says something very similar, but often it builds or it shows another angle. But it's saying the same thing in a different way, you could say. I'll remember you. Remembering is like meditating on you. Meditating and remembering, that's like pondering. So later on in the psalm, verse 11, he says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your works and muse on your deeds. Not just remember the deeds. There are a lot of deeds you could remember. But then to remember all the deeds of the Lord and then muse on top of them. Meditate. There's so many psalms. If you read through, maybe this is a good Bible study thing for you to do if you don't currently have something you're doing. But a good thing might be to read through the psalms just looking for how much the psalmists stir up feeling and affection and worship and even obedience by remembering and sometimes recounting at great length what God did in the past. You read a psalm like 145 or 138 or 136. There's so many psalms like this. You just start thumbing through psalms and you'll see this. But you see these psalms where it just tells the story from the beginning about God creating and then about his people in the wilderness and then rescuing them in the wilderness and providing for them in the wilderness and they disobeyed, but you were faithful and you were persistent and you were patient. And you brought us a king, and you did this, and we didn't do that, but you brought these guys, and you are faithful, and you will bring your Messiah, your chosen one, someday. Remember, remember, remember. In the New Testament, the theme is not just with the Lord's Supper. Remembrance? Listen to these great little pithy sort of verses from the New Testament. Luke 17:32, Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." That's a sentence. That's not part of a sentence. That's a sentence. That's a pregnant sentence. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back when God said not to. Such a symbolic character in the Bible, right? You look back, God says not to. It showed where her heart really was. Her heart was on that city that God was destroying, not on the God who was rescuing. And she was turned into salt. Remember Lot's wife. In Matthew 16, when the disciples are having a hard time believing something that Jesus is saying or getting something that Jesus is saying, Jesus says, "Don't you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many baskets full you picked up?" You see, he doesn't say, "Don't you remember I fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and stops?" He says, "Don't you remember how heavy the baskets were? Don't you remember how many baskets you guys had to carry? Don't you remember that? That was a lot of bread, wasn't it? It was a lot of food I made, wasn't it? Remember how tired your arms got?" Replay the story again. Replay the story. You see this in Hebrews 13:3. The writer of Hebrews says, "Remember the prisoners." I don't think he means get to the point where you say, "Oh yeah, I forgot, some Christians are in prison." No, in fact, he says, "Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them." You see that? Remember. Remember them and remember what they're going through. Remember, maybe yourselves know what it is to be in prison for the sake of the gospel. Or Ephesians 2. There are a couple different places in Ephesians 2 where Paul says, "Remember that you were at that time, before you were a Christian, before Christ came, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, from the people of God. You were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Remember that you were without God and without hope. Remember. And don't just remember the fact. Remember. Remember. Feel it in your bones that it's not a given that you be redeemed. And for many, many centuries, even millennia, God had a specific nation that was his people. And there were very few people like Rahab who got in by being grafted in. even though they weren't natural Israelites. The rest of the world, God had not chosen at that time to savingly reveal himself to all nations, but instead he picked a specific nation of Israel. Remember what it would be like. Think about and feel it in your bones to know that God didn't have to include you. That just like him choosing Israel wasn't because of their glory or their goodness or their wisdom or their strength or their size or their cleverness, so it wasn't with you. Feel that. Remember it. All right, now back to 1 Corinthians 11. Do this in remembrance of me. What does he mean? He means, remember your need. Remember how hopeless your state was, that the only fix was the murder, the sacrificial murder of the Son of God on your behalf. It's the only thing that could have redeemed you from the justice and wrath of God. Remember how painful it was that he didn't want to go, that he sweat as though drops of blood and pleaded with his Father that if there be any other way, let this cup pass. Remember that. Remember that he went willingly. Remember that he went lovingly. Remember he didn't punch Judas, even though you would have. Remember the faithlessness of the disciples that they scattered when he was crucified. Remember Jesus praying for those who crucified him, saying they didn't know what they do. Father, don't commit this to their charge. Remember the things he said? Remember he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken by God. We don't know the kind of fellowship Jesus had with his Father before he was forsaken, so we can't possibly imagine what it would mean to go from pure and perfect Father and Son, deity to deity, eternal fellowship, into desertion. Why have you deserted me? Why have you left me? Why? Because in God's providence, he intended to put sin on Jesus, our sin on Jesus. And at that time, Jesus was experiencing the Father's wrath and separation. He was not experiencing the Father's love. He was bearing wrath so that we might not bear wrath. Remember that. There's a great poem / hymn by D.A. Carson that says it's a shocking thing that we should forget. It is, isn't it? And yet, keep in mind too that it's so loving and patient of our Savior that he gave us a meal to remind us, instead of just rebuking us for being so forgetful. We have been forgetful, right? We're here tonight to examine ourselves and not only reaffirm our sinfulness and need for Jesus, but also the fact that we have been wanderers. We have been forgetful people in the last month. We've been forgetful people today. If we had testimony time and we were willing to expose our own hearts, I think many of us would be very, you know, willing to say or could very easily recount occasions where you have this great Bible study or prayer, or you leave church and you're excited, you're passionate about the Lord, you're joyful, and oh my goodness, it can turn so fast. How did I do that? How did I say that? How did I tear that person up? How did I think that? How did I let myself go there? we're forgetful. D.A. Carson says, a shocking thing this that we should forget. The Savior who gave up his life. To turn from the cross indifferent and let our minds veer towards self-love and strife. The table, this rite, is habit. And yet Christ's words pierce our shame like a knife. While breaking the bread, the Lord Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember my bed, the dank cattle shed, Jesus says, though glory was all my domain. Remember the years of service and tears that climaxed in lashings of pain. By God's own decree, your guilt fell on me, and all of my loss is your gain. While breaking the bread, the Lord Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember my tears, Gethsemane's fears. Recall that my followers fled, that I was betrayed, disowned, and arraigned. The Prince of Life, crucified and dead. Remember your shame, your sin, and your blame. Remember the blood that I shed. So now when we eat this feast simply spread, I blush, I forget to recall. For this quiet rite means that once more I have fed on bread that gave life once for all. Memorial feast, just wine, broken bread, and time to reflect on Christ's call. While lifting the cup, the Savior spoke up, do this in remembrance of me.